Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. When you hear those words, you can feel good knowing that. State Farm is there to help you feel supported with the coverage you need for your car, your home, and even boats, motorcycles, RVs, and other things that matter to you. Now, let me tell you, girl, I don't got a boat, a motorcycle, or an RV, but State Farm covers my home and my car. With a State Farm agent, you know someone is there to help protect your future by helping you choose the coverage you need. With so many coverage options, it feels good knowing you can find what fits for you. And you know what? Getting insurance can be so intimidating because you don't know exactly what you need. So having an agent that could help you with each step makes it so much easier. Girl, I feel you on that. So when things get complicated and you need ways to get help, State Farm gives you options there too. Maybe you like to handle things in person or on the phone with your local agent, or you prefer to do it on statefarm.com or on the award-winning app. State Farm lets you do things your way. I personally am the type of gal that likes to do things through an app. It just makes it more easier than going in person or hopping on a call. So I love that they have that option available. Girl, I like to use an app too. I'm not trying to pull up in person or a call because I have too much social anxiety for that. I'm trying to do it on the app. So that's why I'm here with State Farm. And that is why, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hey there, everyone. I'm Sarah Weldon, CEO of Trufinco, a finance company dedicated to helping both budding and established small businesses. I'm thrilled to be hosting Business Perfect Formula, a podcast designed to demystify business funding, real estate investing, and business credit. My goal is to simplify the complexities of alternative lending, showing you that navigating the financial landscape can be straightforward and stress-free. Business Perfect Formula is available wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hola, I'm Claudia Romo Edelman.
And I'm Cynthia Kleinbaum-Milner.
And this is a podcast, A la Latina,
the playbook to succeed being your authentic self.
Today, Emma Carrasco, an incredible trailblazer.
She's the Senior Vice President of Corporate Affairs for NBC Universal News Group.
And here are the three takeaways for you from this episode.
How she went from an administrative job to the C-suite of one of the most prominent companies in corporate America.
How, in order to build trust, which is essential for a media organization, you really need to represent the perspectives of all your audiences.
And how her company has proven that there is a business case for investing in a new generation of Latino content.
All of that and more here, A la Latina.
Stick around.
A la Latina is proudly presented by MoneyLion. Join the millions of Americans just like you who use MoneyLion to help reach their American dream.
Today, an incredible guest, Emma Carrasco.
Emma is the Senior Vice President of Corporate Affairs for the NBC Universal News Group, which includes NBC News, MSNBC, CNBC, Telemundo, and NBCU Local. She was previously Senior Vice President and Global Engagement Officer for the National Geographic Society and served as Chief Marketing Officer and Senior Vice President of Audience Development of NPR.
Over the years, Emma has also contributed her skills to República Havas, Nortel Networks, McDonald's, Univision, and Fleischmann Hillard.
She's been the recipient of numerous recognitions over the years. Was recently named to the Most Powerful Latinas list by the Association of Latino Professionals for America, and was named a 2023 Rising Star by Latino Leaders Magazine.
She's also a board member of Direct Relief, which is a leader in providing medical humanitarian aid to those in need. Its mission is to improve the health and lives of people affected by poverty or emergencies.
And she's also the board member of a really cool company called Toast Ale LTD, which is a social enterprise that tackles food waste by turning surplus bread into beer.
Emma, welcome. What a bio. Such an honor to have you here.
Thank you both so much for this invitation. It's really so generous of you and what you're doing to shine a spotlight on Latinas and the unique leadership style of Latinas, I think, is a benefit to everyone. So thank you and congratulations for doing this work.
Thank you. Thank you, Emma. And thank you for being here. Let's dive right in.
Tell us about you, your upbringing. What was the background that made you be who you are today and what you do?
I am a first-generation American. My parents immigrated from Mexico, and they ended up in California. And that's where we were born and raised. And like many first-generation Americans, I was instilled with a love of family, a love of community, and a real dedication to a strong work ethic. And so I think like many of us who grow up as the children of immigrants, we bring something that is really intangible to whatever it is we set our hearts and minds to achieving. And so I am so proud of the family that I come from. And I'm also proud to represent the huge dreams that they had for all of us, for me and my siblings. And everything that I have done in life and in career has been a tribute to my parents. And so that is my highest and most important source of inspiration and strength.
So tell us just a little bit more about that instilling of your dream big attitude. Were they like, mija, look at the stars. You can get there.
They had dreams of their own. They had huge dreams, which are the dreams that propelled them to come to this country. And so I always say, have a big dream. Have a big, bold, ambitious dream, because that sets you on your path. And the other thing that they showed me was that you just have to put in the work. And you have to dedicate yourself to being educated, to constantly learning, to constantly improving your skills, to exposing yourself to different people, different cultures, different countries, different languages, different foods, different literature. Expose and expand your perspective each and every day. And then the last thing that they taught me, and this is especially true when I think about the summers that I spent in my mother's hometown in Durango. And she was in this little pueblito called Garame de Abajo, which was next to Garame de Arriba.
Wow. I never, is this a joke or it's for real?
It's a for real name. You know, wow. These ranchitos in Mexico, they have these names. And these were fierce women who lived off of the land. They were so resourceful, so creative with what they had. They were generous of spirit, and they worked and they toiled all day long. And at the end of the day, you sat around a circle and you told the stories of the day. And these women, they laughed and they were funny and witty. And so it taught me the importance of taking your work seriously, but not necessarily taking yourself too seriously. And they taught me the importance of having a love of life, the importance of laughter, the importance of leading with joy and optimism, because that gets you through a lot. And as you go through building a career like the kinds we have, the ability to laugh is really important.
And the ability to finish every day and every cycle with a circle of women around you, yeah, that can, you know, like that can share, yeah, their day so that we can share the access code.
Exactly.
Fantastic.
Exactly.
So just going back to your family, what you're saying, or I hear you saying that being connected, having a network, asking people for their perspective. If I hear you talking and I don't know anything about you, I would think, oh, she must have had all these people around her that already had walked the walk. But since your family came from Mexico, you probably didn't have an uncle or your parents to ask them, how do I climb the ladder? Which job should I take? What career should I even study? What was your playbook to like make decisions, to know what you were supposed to do if your family and your immediate network wasn't there to guide you?
And was with a ranchito.
Yes.
Exactly, right. Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, I didn't even know that there was a ladder, right? Yeah. Like, I didn't even know that a corporate ladder was a thing. I was lucky enough to get an education, right? Mm-hmm. Like many of our parents, that was really important.
Yeah.
And so in the process of trying to figure it out, I knew that I needed to graduate and I knew that I needed a job.
Yeah.
Right? That was like just step one. But there was no one, we were all kind of in the same boat, and there was no one really to show us the path. So we were showing each other the way. And I remember my very first job was a secretary. That was the title. I was a secretary for a small public relations agency. And the agency was acquired by Fleischmann Hillard. And it was when I got to Fleischmann Hillard that I realized, oh, there were all these other jobs that people grew into. You started as an assistant account executive, and then if you did that job well, you became an account executive, and then an account director, and then a vice president, et cetera. And it was there that I was fortunate enough to have a boss who was Latino. And that set me on my path. His name was Steve Moya, and he was my first and most important role model because he understood me culturally, and he was ascending in his own career and willing, if I worked hard enough, if I met the right standards of excellence, to help me move along as well. And so that first mentor was everything to me. And I don't know that I would have had the connection had he not been a Latino.
So he was a mentor and then a sponsor, from what you're saying, because he kind of took you with him.
That's
so
right.
Steve Moya?
Yes.
Steve Moya, thank you. And everyone else, be a Steve Moya.
1,000%.
Exactly. Okay, so you have a title that I don't understand what it means. It sounds legal, but I don't think it's legal, corporate affairs. So can you tell us what your job is?
Well, you know, I'm so lucky to be able to work where I work, which is the NBC Universal News Group, which, as you said, is a pretty vast portfolio of news brands and shows and platforms. And there is value in having that portfolio, but it is magnified when you're able to connect the dots across the portfolio. Mm-hmm. And so that's a lot of what I do as head of corporate affairs for the NBC Universal News Group. And then the other thing that I do is really develop relationships with the communities that we serve and the communities that we need to represent. And so Claudia is a perfect example of a leader with whom we really identified was important to share what we were doing because we respect the work that Claudia is doing. And we also think that what we're doing should be recognized and should be understood. And so it's a two-way street, right? Any relationship is. And we really believe in the power of partnership. And so a lot of what I do is establish those relationships and work those partnerships so that there is mutual gain in the kind of stories that we tell and the kind of storytelling that we put out into the world.
Before we started shooting, you explained this to me a little bit, and it just reminded me of almost every interview we've made where our guests have said, Latinas are great at connecting people, at getting people to collaborate. So I can't imagine anyone doing this job that is not Latina, you know? Like, I think, I mean, the way that you grew up probably prepared you for this role. And every company, no matter the size, I think needs this role, somebody that connects the dots, that gets people to collaborate, that gets teams to add value to each other, because in big companies, you can see how much money gets wasted for not having those connections. But even small companies, everybody's running around doing their thing.
Yes.
So everybody needs an Emma Carrasco.
At MoneyLion, we think money can buy happiness and that you deserve access to the same tricks, tips, and tools as the 1%. We want you to achieve your version of the American dream. So we built an app that can help you get there. From banking with no hidden fees to cash advances with zero interest or credit checks, MoneyLion offers a suite of premium financial products that can help you make your everyday money decisions a whole lot easier. We even curated a network of content creators who can educate you how to invest, borrow, save, and earn like the pros. Ready to take control of your money life? Join the millions of Americans who use MoneyLion every day by downloading the app today.
Are you ready to turn your best ideas into a thriving online business?
Introducing Shopify, your no excuses business partner. You might not realize, but our podcast, More Than Mamis, it's a business. And we started it, of course, to talk about maternity, not to become an e-commerce expert.
So yeah, we needed some help selling our merch and getting our store up and running. another sale.
Shopify is a commerce platform revolutionizing millions of businesses worldwide.
No matter if you are a garage entrepreneur or a big business, Shopify is the only tool you need to start and grow your business without the struggle.
With Shopify Single Dashboard, you can manage orders, shipping, and payments from anywhere, giving you the insights you need, whatever you are. Sign up for $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/sonoro, all lowercase.
Go to shopify.com/sonoro to take your business to the next level today.
shopify.com/sonoro.
So, making Latino content mainstream.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about where we are today, from like creating Hispanic content only for Latinos to making it more mainstream? And if you can also talk to us about the decision of making the show from John Leguizamo,
Leguizamo Dos America.
Which is mainstream, right? Everybody is for everybody's consumption. So how do you feel? Where are we? Are we in the right track? Do you feel like we need to accelerate it? How is the masses consuming content that is meant to showcase Latinos in the U.S.?
I think to answer the fundamental question, I think we have made so much progress based on where we started, where we've been. There's still room to grow. I think it comes down to two things. Building trust with audiences for a news organization is essential. Mm-hmm. Trust is our currency. The next thing that it has to be is excellent. Just excellent, high quality content.
Mm-hmm.
And so for us, the way that we build trust with audiences is ensuring that we represent all the communities we serve, that we represent them across all dimensions of diversity, gender, race, geography, socioeconomic background, and diversity of perspective. And that doesn't happen by accident, Claudia. The reason that I joined the NBC Universal News Group was because Cesar Conde was chairman. And I knew his commitment to excellence. I knew his commitment to building trust with audiences and his ability to be bold. And what we have achieved is pretty remarkable. The numbers speak for themselves. NBC Universal News Group has to deliver business results.
Yeah.
And so we are there in terms of audience, in terms of representation, in terms of performance on all metrics. And so what it has shown us, and we say this all the time, the playbook is here. Please, industry, use it, because we need everyone to do this, is you make a commitment to build trust with your audience.
Mm-hmm.
And when Latino audiences see something like Leguizamo Des America, they see themselves reflected.
Mm-hmm.
But non-Latino audiences also appreciate the excellence of that content, mm-hmm. the high quality production that is entertainment. And it has been the highest rated show in its time slot on MSNBC. Full stop. So it tells you that excellence in content is excellence in content. And John would be the first person to tell you that. John certainly wants to represent our community and has done so well. But
for so long.
Yeah.
But Leguizamo Does America has been greenlit for a season two because it delivered. It delivered on audience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it has also represented the diversity of the Latino community. So you can do two things or three things at once. It was just a very important investment that MSNBC Films and NBC News Studios mm-hmm. was going to make. It was a big bet. And when you make big bets, you do everything you need to do to ensure its success. And so our ability to understand the importance of community, the importance of partnerships, the importance of opinion leaders, and make those connections in addition to broader marketing and outreach. It was really that combination. And John played a critical role in promoting the work because he wanted it to succeed. Yeah. We wanted it to succeed. We were all committed to its success. And that's where I think is absolutely essential when you have this kind of work. But you know, beyond that, it's a situation that we have now, and I am so proud that across this portfolio, we have more Latino news anchors than any other news organization. And that happens as a in response to, again, a bold ambition that Cesar set for the organization, a North Star, and the fact that we have so many excellent journalists that exist in the field.
Yeah.
And so you look at Tom Llamas, Ana Cabrera, Jose Diaz-Balay, they're excellent journalists. And they also happen to be Latino and committed, very committed to it.
I wanted to go back a little bit to what we were talking about of being yourself and being able to feel proud when you come to work in through your life, being a Latina. Has it been a pro? Has it been a con? When were there bruises? When did you have to dial down and hide it? When did you, you know, like put it forward?
Yeah, I will say that as I started, because I was the first, I was the only, it was terrifying. How was I going to learn? Yeah. Who was going to teach me? And I just had to dig really deep and try to figure it out on my own until I met Steve Moya. And even then, entering a room when you didn't have the wealth of experience that others who had entered the room had, boy, like not knowing how and when to ask a question, to contribute an idea, all of that. I went through a period in my career early on where it was really challenging because I just didn't have the playbook. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, I can either continue being afraid or I can be okay with making some mistakes. And I said, like, Steve probably made some mistakes along the way. And so I was able to talk to him about it. I talked to my parents, and not everything they did was exactly right. I said, oh, well, okay, so like, I guess making some mistakes is part of the journey. And I know how resourceful Latinas are. I know that we have the ability to look at things from all these different perspectives. And I thought, like, I am an American. I also feel very Mexican. And so my ability to have different views on a challenge or an opportunity, I think really helped me because I wasn't siloed in my view of the world. I couldn't be, because I'm bilingual and I'm bicultural. And that, once I recognized the superpower that is, I was able to then take advantage of all of these opportunities that presented themselves. But first, I went through a period where I was terrified and I just didn't know how to make it or if I was going to make it.
But there's one thing that I have to say I've noticed, you know, like from the years that I know you, which is, and it gave me a lot of approach with you. I felt that you were very approachable. You're very serious and you're a corporate leader in all senses. And I remember when I met you, I was very impressed. And all of a sudden you laughed. And you were like, ha, ha, ha. And it was like really like a laughing like a Latina. And so there was like, you know, like freely and fully. And it was not like, It was like really being yourself.
Right. And I just had dinner in Los Angeles with a group of guys that I graduated college with. And all Latinos, right, all coming first in their families to go to college, et cetera. And from my earliest days, my friends, my colleagues, my schoolmates, they know me for my laugh and that I have never held it back. Yeah. Because it goes, I listened to my grandmother and my family elders in Garame de Abajo. And after a long day sitting around the circle and the stories.
Talking about Garame de Arriba.
Exactly. And the joy that brought them. And I said, I am never going to lose that.
Yeah. And I love that you're able to do that. So just like on the Latinidad.
Yeah.
So you said you never had to dial it down. And that's incredible. And you were able to probably navigate it really well. Has it helped you? Like being Latina, has it helped you to stand out, you know, like when you were not doing only the Latino market?
Right.
And what parts?
Right. I think because I was always so proud of where I came from and who I was and doing things to honor my parents, that if I dialed that back, I would be doing them a dishonor. And so I found a path in corporate America that appreciated that, so that when brands wanted to understand this Hispanic market, I was ready. I was prepared because I never walked away from it. And it was a source of strength and pride. And I thought, this is what is going to be my entree to a corporate career. And I did that on the agency side. I did that on the corporate side. And I've done that on the media side. And so it has really allowed me to express my unique view of the world and my perspective on growth and opportunity for all sides of that stool, right? That we call consumer marketing or consumer outreach.
Oscar Muñoz, that speaks about having an Aztec moment where he realized that because he was a Latino, he was such a great CEO. And he never wanted to claim it before because he was like, it's not because I'm a Latino. Don't put that stick on me to say that I'm a Latino and that's why I got to be the CEO of United. I was a CEO of United because of my perseverance, by my qualities, my performance. And then after, he said, I had an Aztec moment when I claimed my Latinidad. And I do think that a lot of Latinas that make it to corporate America in senior positions do not have that Aztec right. moment yet. Seems to me that you had it when you were like a pocketbook moment, but you have seen that.
Yeah, I have used it to create a career.
Yeah.
And that to me is again, just really rewarding. The only thing that I would say I at times had to dial back was being a woman, because if you're in the corporate environment in the 80s and 90s, you're trying to dress like a guy, you're trying to act like a guy, and that just felt that was like an out-of-body experience, right? But I remember wearing the suits with the shoulder pads and even a tie, and that's what you did, because you were trying to emulate other leaders, and those leaders were largely men.
Yeah, playing the script of a man.
Yeah.
So we think we're making it every time more. Every time there's yes. more Emma Carrascos, every time more there's yeah. more and more of us. But we want to make it in half the time.
Mm-hmm.
So what advice would you give yourself if you would be 30 years old, which ideally can go and talk to our audience on, you know, like these are the things that you don't have to wait 20 years to get to there?
I think that If I were 30 years old, I wish that I would have been able to continue my formal education. I wish I would have had the time, the resources to get an MBA. I believe that higher education is incredibly important and distinguishing. And so I spent time building a career that may have taken me less time had I had been able to continue my formal education. And so I think our ability to continue to pursue mm-hmm. education at the highest level is one of the keys to accelerating our ability to lead.
Yeah, I mean, I get questions about MBAs a lot because I took my 2 years of going to do an MBA. And I mean, it changed my life. It really gave me so much perspective. Like, it showed me how other industries work. Mm-hmm. It really teaches you how to be a CEO, you know, because you're like in an environment where you're with very smart people. Just anyway, I strongly recommend that people continue their formal education.
I do too. You end up getting all of that, even if you don't have an MBA.
Later.
But if the question is, how do we accelerate?
Mm-hmm. Go MBA.
That's what I would recommend.
I would kill myself if I don't ask you this. You're the head of corporate affairs of a news organization. How does it look like in an election year? What is the advice for young Latinas to be attentive to in a world of misinformation, disinformation? What are we looking for? What are we looking at?
It is, I think, one of the most challenging and consequential times of our generation, Claudia. I really believe that. And you have to be able to identify news and information that you can trust, because we are surrounded by an ecosystem where anyone can inform, but it's not necessarily backed up by standards or practices. And so we go through great lengths to build this trust with audiences, because we think that it is so consequential for Americans to have reliable information about who is going to be the next leader of this country. And we have to present, and we do, all sides of the spectrum. So I'm coming here to you today from the Republican National presidential debate that we hosted in Miami. And through the quality of our journalists, we were able to have a debate that was substantive, where the candidates actually got to explain where they stood on really important issues of our time. And I think that doing the work to pay attention to that is an obligation that we have as citizens of this country. And so I would say to young Latinas to do your homework, to find trusted sources of information, and to exercise your right to vote, because it is essential to our democracy. And so we're trying to do our part, and citizens and voters of this country need to do their part. And together, if we both do our parts, we exercise this experiment that we call a democracy. And we are so fortunate to be in a country where that is our aspiration.
And you go great lengths to make sure that there's more and more voter registration for the Latino community.
Yes.
And I do think that we should say it here, La Latina. We believe that if you want to make it in life, you have to actually make your voice heard. So go and register yourself and make your voice heard and be hardworking and go and register and vote.
That's exactly right.
Emma, is there anything else that you would like to deliver to our audience? Anything else that you would like to share with us?
I want to thank you both for this conversation. It's felt like talking with friends, and it is so important that we be able to see ourselves and hear ourselves. And what you're doing is so valued and so important. So I again just really want to express my gratitude to you for having me on, and for your commitment to make sure that all audiences understand that when you do things a la Latina, that great things can happen.
Exactly. Absolutely. I learned so much. I grew my admiration for you dramatically in this podcast.
Qué linda.
Emma Carrasco, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you. Thank you both.
Emma Carrasco, leading a la Latina.
This podcast was proudly produced by Malka Media.
Hey there, everyone. I'm Sarah Weldon, CEO of Trufinco, a finance company dedicated to helping both budding and established small businesses. I'm thrilled to be hosting Business Perfect Formula, a podcast designed to demystify business funding, real estate investing, and business credit. My goal is to simplify the complexities of alternative lending, showing you that navigating the financial landscape can be straightforward and stress-free.
Business Perfect Formula is available wherever you listen to podcasts.